Dear friends, good morning. As I said, today we get an opportunity through the liturgy to reflect on the impact of this liturgy in us, in this feast day. In these days, I think we've all been kind of close to our families, either through our devices or physically. And what my oldest brother, he sent to little chat group of the four siblings, a conference that he likes a lot from Arthur Brooks. I've talked about Arthur Brooks in the past. And somehow he said, "Hey guys, I'm sending you a little gem from Arthur." It was the commencement speech at Benedictine in Kansas. And so I sent him a voice note and I said, "Hey, I'm so curious. I mean, as somebody who preaches all the time, why is it that you are so drawn by Arthur Brooks? What is it that he says to you that always appeals so much to you?" And he said, "Well, in first place, because he's not a priest. So I believe him more. He's not like you. He's one like me. He's my age. He's got children. And he's just got the data to support the science of happiness. And I like the way he just structures his speeches and podcasts and all that." And I thought, well, that's very legitimate. I think what he's saying is true. But it got me thinking since that day. Oh, well, one of the things that he added was that he had never, my brother's 60. I'm much younger than that. I'm 22. But he said, "I had never really understood from..." Because Arthur Brooks, by the way, is a daily mass goer. And never understood that we have to live to find meaning and purpose. And I wanted to kind of push back and say, so in all these years of going to Mass and you read the gospel every day, and we were both in a Catholic school, so it's at 60 that you... And I said, well, that's the way God works. He can work through any mouth. He could work through you. But that's not the important part. The important part is that I thought to myself, isn't it true that just because we kind of like right now have meaning and purpose, isn't it true that every day when the alarm sounds in the morning, we have to give ourselves again the meaning and purpose of that day? It's not just that, okay, I decided to get married or to be single or to be a priest or to be a nun or whatever. It's like our heart yearns for a new meaning every day. Like, why get up with this weather? And if you were in Florida, yeah, get up. But in New York, well, I don't know about you, but I used to love cold weather. I don't like it anymore. Incidentally, one of my friends, female friends from, she lives far away, but we had a call this week to wish her New Year's, Happy New Year. And she asked me the same thing. I guess she was married and now she's not. And she said, "Hey, Jorge, what gives you happiness? Like, what makes you get up in the morning?" And so I've been dwelling on this, and I believe that today's feast day kind of is geared to answering that question for us. So, Epiphany. It's almost like in the past, just so you know, in the first few centuries, Christmas, Epiphany, and the baptism of the Lord, all three were one feast day. They were separated for some reason. Ask ChatGPT later on why. I don't know why. But what I do see is that we heard the first reading, well, really all the readings, it's about Christ is not just a gift for those of us who are sitting here. He's a gift for every human existing and beating heart. The Magi represent the Gentiles, as St. Paul used to call them. Everybody that's out there, not under the tent of the Catholic Church. And so here, as I go back to my brother listening to a professor of Harvard on happiness, but he happens to be Catholic and he's talking about purpose and meaning and he gets that. And then I have the liturgy. Christ is saying, not only was I born a few days ago, and it's kind of like still today because liturgically this used to be the same feast day, I am the answer to your purpose and meaning. However you want to structure it, you know, Arthur Brooks or any happiness coach or teacher will structure it in a different way every time they give a new talk, but it's basically the same thing. Find meaning in your work, find meaning in love, and find meaning in transcendence. God, work, and love. Those three things. He is the light. And if we hone in a little bit on, let's see, what's not the light, in the gospel we see the typical thing that we find in the beginning of the Gospel of John. He came to his own and they did not receive him. And that line between evil and good also crosses through your heart and my heart. We're not totally converted. And that's why we have to give meaning each day to our lives. And a description of this is, God is very simple like a child. The devil is complex. Herod versus the Magi. Magi represent the good spirit. Herod is complex. He's lying. Where's the child? I also want to give him honor and bring this and bring that. And he's lying, and we know that. And his son will do the same thing later, a few years later, killing John the Baptist. He's a deceiver. He's complex. And think about it, how many times we, our souls, our ways of thinking become complex because we don't search for meaning and purpose inside in the depths of who we are. Have you ever talk to somebody who's going through a bad moment and everything they say is negative, twisted, complicated, dark, and everybody's guilty except for them? I just had a conversation like that in the last week. Somebody who everywhere he goes, he steps on toes, but you confront him lovingly and everybody's guilty, but not me. Complexity, darkness, twistedness, it's kind of like the description of the spiritual life. God is so simple. He tells us, be like a child. In which way is there anything twisted in me that the epiphany, Jesus, the God with us, wants to untwist and say, why don't you just become simpler in your way of thinking, of living, of desiring, of desiring? Why does this happen? I've been quoting John of the Cross recently, and I will do it again today. It's a commentary on John of the Cross. Herein lies the metaphysical sickness of the human person. We do not live for our deepest center where God dwells. Other energies and desires usurp our most fundamental desire for God and can alienate us from this divine source of love and meaning. We attempt to satisfy our desire for God by choosing something that can never fulfill us emotionally and spiritually. The more we depend upon creatures to satisfy our longing for happiness, my Kindle just turned off. For longing for happiness, love, and meaning, the more we experience interior warfare, which leads to psychological and spiritual disorder. Every time a priest sits in the confessional, what he hears is that spiritual warfare and disorder. Fueled by our restless desires and cravings for love and meaning, we are conditioned to place our love and affection in created realities that can never satisfy the longings of our heart. I wish my brother were here because I would tell him, you mean no priest has ever preached this to you? You had to wait until Arthur Brooks? Well, more power to Arthur. I wish I could call him and say, kudos, you converted, semi-converted my sibling. Again, divided or united inside of me. Some time ago, not very long ago, in the last 6 months, there's a young woman who got married, and it didn't go well at all. And they split, and she was able to get an annulment. And 1.5 months later, started dating somebody. And on the second month, she almost wanted him to commit to marriage in 2 months. And I won't say it explicitly because there are kids here, but they were living as they were husband and wife. 2 months later, and she's asking for advice. I said, do you see what you're doing? You're giving him everything that a man wants and not making him be a man and commit to show you who you truly are. You didn't learn from the first experience? St. John on the cross again. We close our heart to a loving relationship with God. The ultimate consequence of this separation is psychological and spiritual sickness. Because the soul's center is God, John conceives of the spiritual life as an ever-progressive movement to the center of the soul where God dwells. Friends, when St. Augustine wrote the book, The City of God, he said that we are either putting our heart in God or we put it in little gods with a small g. And the Epiphany comes and tells me, Jesus, I'm not the solution for Christians only. I am the solution with a capital T and a capital S. Final quote. Therefore, the failure to grow in loving union with God is to alienate ourselves from our deepest center and authentic self. So what can we draw out from this feast day today? Well, we have to ask ourselves, where is our center, for crying out loud? Where is our center? Where do I put my hopes? How do I medicate my needs? And the basic needs are love, affirmation, belonging, and really not much more than that. The others are invented. Well, Christ has an answer. I am your happiness. And I'm sure that if Arthur were here, he would say, that's exactly right, Father. All I'm trying is to translate in more academic and scientific terms what the gospel already told us, because there's no message out there that can supersede or be better than that of the Son of God, who we celebrate today. So as we continue with this Mass, why don't we? I always believe that the first part of the Mass is for all of us, including me, to listen to the Word and have a little interpretation of it, but then to have the Eucharist feed us, guide us, and orient us to the goal we have. So let's ask Mary, Mother, can you come and help me also dwell on this? What meaning and purpose am I finding right here, right now? And every morning to answer that question so that we can live with the joy of Christ, that we can answer with what St. Paul says to, if I'm not mistaken, the Philippians. He commands us to be happy. He says, be happy. I repeat, brothers and sisters, be happy. May God give us that light. Amen.